The title of this message is, What in the Sam Hain? I'll explain that as we go along. Opening up with a discussion about Halloween. Halloween is that time of year when kids all over America will need to have their stomachs pumped from all the candy they will ingest over the course of just a few hours. According to research by Hallmark, at least 50 million American households celebrate Halloween each year, including 90% of families with children 12 or younger. Halloween is America's third largest party day behind New Year's Eve and Super Bowl Sunday. It's number three. And a peculiar thing about Halloween is that Halloween masks have become a source of predicting presidential elections. At the last election, George W. Bush masks outsold John Kerry masks 57% to 43%, according to buycostumes.com. Well, Halloween origins. Where does Halloween come from? And that's where the title comes from. Sam Hain. Like most of our holidays, Halloween has its roots in pagan rituals. John Ankerberg reports this. For the most part, our modern Halloween appears to initially be traced to the practices of the ancient Druids at their winter festival on October 31st. This winter festival was known as Samhain, or the actual pronunciation of that would be Samhain. On Samhain, or October 31st, the Celts worshipped the Lord of Death, or the Lord of the Dead. Beltane, or Fire of Bel, was the time of the summer festival, while Samhain was the time of the winter festival. Several Druidic beliefs and practices resulted from this festival, Samhain, or Samhain. One belief is that the Lord of Death must be appeased. So it was also believed that the evil dead would return to play tricks on the living. They believed that the good dead would then reincarnate. So they started practicing what are called bone fires, or bonfires as we know them today. And these bone fires would scare off the evil dead. People would wear grotesque masks to scare off the evil dead and to fit in with all of the walking dead. So they would don on these horrible, grotesque masks and try to come off as just another one of the evil dead. Food was also left out to appease these risen dead, because after you've been dead for so long, you're a little hungry. Well, there's also a question of whether or not human sacrifice was practiced, and according to Julius Caesar, it actually was. In A.D. 835, Pope Gregory, one of those guys, there are so many of them, but Pope Gregory designated November 1st as All Saints' Day or All Hallows' Day, the term hallow referring to the saints. So the evening before All Hallows' Day, this was October 31st, became known as All Hallows' Evening. The term Halloween is then a contraction of All Hallows' Evening. The celebration was designed to honor Christian martyrs. It was celebrated with big bonfires, parades, and people dressing up as saints, angels, and even devils. Modern Halloween is a little more representative of the earlier Druidic practices, though, than it is of what Pope Gregory proposed. At this time of year, the biggest question and even concern amongst Christians is this: can I dress up little Johnny to go trick-or-treating? Can I let little Susie go to the Halloween party at school and still be a good Christian? Ultimately, the question is this: what should the Christian response to Halloween be? I've even heard of questions in our own church about whether kids can come dressed up to the fall festival tonight. Well, to answer this question, let's first look at the various ways in which Christians react to this holiday, Halloween. Number one, we'll look at reacting by rejoicing. Number two, we'll see reacting by rejecting. Number three, reacting by responding. And then number four, reacting by redeeming. So let's look at that first point, reacting by rejoicing. Many Christians have no problem celebrating Halloween. In 1999, a Focus on the Family, which is a fundamentalist Christian agency, conducted a poll, and they posted it on their website. This poll showed that 29% of Christians claimed that they will enjoy costumes and candy this Halloween. And so this first idea, this first response or reaction from Christianity comes from about 30% of the Christians, at least there in 1999, reacting by rejoicing. They get involved. They take part in Halloween. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Romans 14, you can. The verses will also be on the screen, so you can follow along that way as well. But maybe, you're part of this 29% of Christian families who will possibly dress up on Monday and go to work as the character of your choice. Maybe you bought your child a Spider-Man or a ballerina costume, and you plan to head out tomorrow night to go get as much candy as you can from your neighborhood. Maybe you even take it a step further and drive your kids to other neighborhoods to get even more candy. Anderson M. Rearick III, he said this. He's a Christian journalist for Christianity Today, and he wrote this. I have always considered Halloween a day to celebrate the imagination, to become for a short time something wonderful and strange, smelling of grease paint, to taste sweets that are permissible only once a year. Mr. Rearick goes on to say, how wonderful to be with other children dressed up as what they might grow up to be, what they wished they could be, or even what they secretly feared. All of us, dreams and nightmares, were brought together on equal footing, going from door to door to be given treats and admired for our creativity. How delightful to go to parties with donuts, apples, brown cider, and pumpkin cakes, and to hear spine-tingling ghost stories and feel our hearts skip a beat when the teller grabbed for us. Now, some are pressuring us to give all this up, and they use what is, for some of us, most difficult argument to answer. It's the Christian thing to do. The argument? If you're a good Christian, you will not celebrate Halloween. Supporting verses are found in Romans 14, 14. It says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So here we have Paul saying that there is nothing unclean of itself. But him who considers anything unclean, to him it is unclean. So the Christian might look at this verse and say, I don't consider Halloween an unclean thing. Therefore, to that Christian, it's clean. Titus 1:15 says, to the pure, all things are pure. And so the Christian who celebrates Halloween might look at Halloween and say, to me, this is just a pure holiday. It's just fun. We just dress up and we go get candy. Nothing wrong with that. If you are part of that 30%, of Christians who rejoice at Halloween time, I would suggest this. Live with your convictions. You have your convictions about Halloween. Live with them. Realize that your convictions are your own and not to be forced on someone else. If you are one who celebrates Halloween and you can look past the pagan roots and see it's pure and innocent fun, then celebrate. But celebrate with this in mind. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says this, but beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So, it would seem to suggest that it's the strong Christian who can look past the pagan roots and see the pure innocent fun and celebrate, rejoice right along. And it might be the weaker Christian who would look at that and just, they can't see past the evil, they can't see past the pagan roots. They might react by rejecting. And that's our second point, reacting by rejecting. Many Christians reject Halloween. The same Focus on the Family poll mentioned earlier said that 30% of those polled will avoid Halloween because it is evil. Instead of becoming involved, instead of participation and involvement, this group, this 30% of Christianity, isolates themselves from the whole mess. You're the kind of parents that choose to isolate yourselves from the things that have the appearance of evil. You refuse to subject your family to what is evil. You won't even take your kids down the Halloween aisle at HEB, avoiding that aisle at all costs, because that's the evil aisle at HEB. An article at the Christian Youth Alliance website reports this. The two most frequent ways children are introduced in the occult are through rock music and Halloween. I was introduced to the occult at a Halloween party, the author writes. The article goes on to say this. Tragically, more and more children are being introduced to the occult by teachers in the public schools. And unfortunately, Halloween is one of the two holidays that public schools celebrate. They choose Halloween and Valentine's Day because supposedly there is no religious significance. How wrong they are about Halloween. To be sure, there is no Christian significance to Halloween, but it is obviously a religious day. This Christian that fits into this 30% of Christianity would look at supporting verses like 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you can turn there quickly or just follow along on the screen with me. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20, in the second half of the verse, it says, I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Verse 21 goes on to say, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Check out 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, which says this, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Finally, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, if you fit into this 30% of Christianity, you cannot see any redeeming qualities in Halloween at all. Your plan for tomorrow night is to stay home, turn out the lights, and anybody comes knocking, you're not going to go opening. You're not buying any candy to give out to kids because you refuse to celebrate this holiday anyway at all. For you, I say this, live with your convictions. Live with your own convictions. Because when it comes right down to it, rejoicing with Halloween or rejecting Halloween does not make you a better Christian. Whether you rejoice or whether you reject Halloween, it does not make you a better believer. But living according to your own convictions does. You see, the Holy Spirit is in both of the 30% who rejoice and the 30% who reject. And the Holy Spirit is cultivating convictions within each Christian. And so that the Christian that rejoices and the Christian that rejects ought to live according to their convictions. Well, another conviction that Christians can have is to react by responding. Many other Christians respond to Halloween with an alternative. The same Focus on the Family poll that I've referred to twice now also said this. 29% of those polled turn Halloween into a fall festival or harvest fest. They are not necessarily involved, nor do they isolate themselves, but they insulate themselves. They present their children with an alternative. So there we have it. 30% of Christians rejoice. 30% of Christians reject. And 30% of Christians respond. There's a 30-30-30 split amongst Christians on the issue of Halloween. Those that seek to give a Christian response through alternative events are as many as those who rejoice and reject. Now, if you fit into this 30%, you see Halloween as an opportunity to provide a safe place for kids to fellowship and to hang out and have fun while hanging out with other Christian adults. One situation that we see in scriptures that provides supporting verses for this approach is found in Genesis chapter 50. You see, we've been studying on Wednesday nights about Joseph, the son of Jacob. Joseph was sold into pagan Egypt by the evil intentions of his brothers. And in Genesis 50, beginning in verse 19, it says this, "Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good.'" And there's so many times that Satan means something for evil. And evil people do things for evil reasons. But what evil people and even Satan has meant for evil, God can turn it for good. So Joseph was sold by his evil brothers to an evil empire where he became second only to Pharaoh, a pagan dictator. All by God's design. Not to mention, moving forward into history, the crucifixion. Yeah, Satan intended the crucifixion to happen. And Satan had evil intentions for Jesus Christ. Satan's intention was to destroy Jesus. But what Satan intended for evil, God intended for good. What Satan intends for evil, by the power of God, we also can turn for good. If you're part of the 30% that responds to Halloween, live with your convictions. If you believe in providing Christian alternatives to Halloween, then go for it. At the same time, avoiding forcing your convictions on those who take part in trick-or-treating and rejoice, or stay at home and turn out the lights and reject. You see, the issue is not about Halloween, is it? It's about our love for the Lord and our love for one another. And our love for one another ought to go beyond these distinctions that each Christian can have, each conviction various Christians might hold. Well, finally, we'll look at reacting by redeeming before we conclude this study. You see, the best use that I believe for Halloween is this: outreach. To offer redemption to the lost. You can do that through a harvest fest or a fall fest. As you invite your children's friends to come along with you tonight, chances are they might hear the gospel at some point in time at our fall festival. Maybe next year we would even go further to providing for actually doing outreach in a community to invite the community to come be a part, handing out tracts to kids, presenting the gospel on a children's level. But inviting your children's friends and giving them information about Jesus is a perfect way to redeem this holiday. Halloween outreach from home also is a great way to redeem this holiday. You see, what other time of the year will you have your neighbors stopping by your house to receive stuff from you? Only Halloween. It's the only night of the year that your house becomes missions headquarters. And if you would just turn on your outdoor lights, open the door when they knock on the door, hand those kids some candy and a tract, they'll take that tract home and they'll read it. And who knows, but that piece of information about Jesus might be the very piece of information that leads them to a saving relationship with Jesus. Why not offer them a treat and a tract? We've got thousands of sheep tracts here. You're welcome to take some. You're welcome to, after service, grab a handful of those sheep tracts, take them home with you, if you're going to stay home, or even if you're going to go door to door. And that's the next point. Look at going door to door. You see, I am an evangelist, and I am evangelistically active. I like going out and sharing my faith. But one thing that I do not do is I do not go door to door. Some Christians will, and I don't frown on them. I don't look down on them for having the boldness to walk door to door. But to me, when I'm at home, I'm in a safe place, you know, and I lock that door. And when someone comes in knocking, I typically don't wonder who's there, you know. Unannounced visitors is not socially acceptable in America in 2005. People are offended by that. But on Halloween, it is socially acceptable. It is acceptable if you have children to take your children next door and the next door down and going door to door to door. And as they hand your child a treat, you can hand them a track. Well, going door to door, doing outreach from home, there's also school and office parties. And during school and office parties, people have a, during Halloween at least, they have a heightened sense of the supernatural. They're open to ideas. They're open to spiritual things around Halloween. What a perfect opportunity to engage in religious discussion, but at an office or school Halloween party. The supporting verses for this position. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Paul writes, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." My good friend and Christian apologist, Matt Slick, he commented on this passage of Scripture. He writes this, literally, the Greek says, redeeming the time or buying up the opportunity. The sense then would be, do not just sit there and wait for opportunity to fall into your lap, but go after it. Yes, buy it. See, we need to redeem the time that we've been given. Because the days, according to Paul, are evil. Because look at Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly or wisely, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He does not write that Halloween is an evil day. And Samhain was something that has been practiced in some shape or form for a long time. He doesn't point out one day that's evil. He points out that every day is evil. Every day that a person dies outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ is an evil day. Every day we need to evangelize the lost so that they will return and turn to Jesus and be saved. The perfect plan for Christian evangelism on Halloween is this. I'll give you guys all a hint on what you should do at your office party or if you're going out to hang out with friends or if you're going door to door. Go get yourself a Satan costume, all right? And you all should dress up like Satan. That's what you ought to do. Are you shocked? That's the plan. The plan for Halloween is we all dress up like Satan. And then wherever we go talk to people and say, I made a mistake. There's no forgiveness for me, but you still have time, and you ought to turn to Jesus. So, sounds like a great plan, doesn't it? You know, I'm a big dummy. I blew it. Could have been in heaven. I'm going to hell. Or just dress up in a Satan suit and go out with a sign that says the end of the world is coming type thing, you know. Tell people about Jesus. We need to tell people to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We need to explain to them the free gift of grace that Jesus has paid for our sins. That we can be forgiven. That we can have a right relationship with God, which is what we were designed to have. Halloween is a perfect time to evangelize the lost. Let me tell you about another man. Another man who redeemed October 31st. You see, 4% of Christians observe October 31st as Reformation Day. It's a recognition of the founding fathers of Protestantism. Here we see a picture of that great reformer, Martin Luther, who on October 31st, in 1517, he posted his 95 thesis on the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church. The thesis began with a challenge to debate the Catholics. Luther was seeking reform within the Catholic, the Catholic Church. And he wrote 95 statements against the Catholic Church and posted those on October 31st. Here are a few of those statements. Statement number 27, they preach only human doctrines who say that as soon as the money clinks into the money chest, the soul flies out of purgatory. Number 32 says this, those who believe that they can be certain of their salvation because they have indulgence letters will be eternally damned together with their teachers. Number 36 says this, any truly repentant Christian has a right to full remission of penalty and guilt even without indulgence letters. The last two points that Martin Luther made on October 31st was this. Number 94, Christians should be exhorted to be diligent in following Christ, their head, through penalties, death, and hell. And number 95, and thus be confident of entering into heaven through many tribulations rather than through the false security of peace. Martin Luther was a man who knew how to redeem this day. And what better day than October 31st for us to celebrate the Protestant Reformation, when brave men and brave women took a stand against the domination of the Catholic Church, taking us down a path to false doctrine. I thank God for October 31st. And I thank God for Martin Luther. But whether it is you rejoice, or whether you reject, or whether you respond, or whether you redeem this day, the thing that comes down to it is we need to respect. We need to react by respecting one another. We need to respect through receiving one another. Look at Romans 14. We need to react by respecting one another, because the one thing that Satan wants more than anything else is for Christians to be divided on ridiculous issues like Halloween. If the enemy can divide the unity of the body over something as silly as a day when kids dress up like Spider-Man, to cause us to break fellowship over something like handing out candy, this is ridiculous. Romans 14:1 says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Halloween is certainly a doubtful thing. The question of whether I can go out and collect candy without worshiping Satan, yes, I think I can. I think as kids go door to door, the last thing that they're thinking about is the worship of Satan. But if you can't see past that, that's fine too. Don't take your kids trick-or-treating. But to divide because those kids do and those kids don't is ludicrous. And Satan wants nothing more than for us to divide over something so silly. But Paul says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Wesley commented on this word, receive. He said, and I quote, receive with all love and courtesy into Christian fellowship. You see, we respect fellow believers when we offer the right hand of fellowship, despite the disagreements that we might have. Whether you celebrate Halloween or not is not an essential Christian doctrine. So don't make it one. We respect fellow believers when we offer them the right hand of fellowship, even when they disagree about doubtful things. Paul continues in Romans 14. In verse 2 it says, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak only eats vegetables, probably because he doesn't have enough B in his diet. Meat has vitamin B in it. Anyway, Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. You see, if you react to Halloween by rejoicing, God has received you. If you react by rejecting Halloween, God has received you. If you react by responding to Halloween, God has received you. And if you react by redeeming Halloween, God has received you. Now, if God has received me, and God has received you, why would we then not receive one another over issues that God overlooked? Why would we despise and judge one another when God didn't? Look at verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. The context here is speaking about the holy days. These were these Jewish holy days that set the Jews apart from everyone else. And the Judaizers were coming along saying that these Christians, these Gentile and Jewish Christians, must observe these holy days. So the context is a little bit different from talking about the celebration of Halloween. However, I think it applies here in reverse. I believe that we can apply this verse and say that let no one who celebrates Halloween despise him who does not. And let him who does not celebrate Halloween judge him who does celebrate Halloween. Because Christianity is not about days. It's about loving the Lord. It's about loving the Lord and loving our neighbor as ourselves. You've been debating with other Christians about Halloween. If you've been debating about Halloween with a Christian brother or sister, when the service is over, I think the very best thing that you might do is to go and offer them the right hand of fellowship and agree to disagree. Maybe some of you are bringing kids tonight all dressed up in costumes. And they're going to jump in the jump tent with their Spider-Man costume on. Or I know Jeremy was planning to have his on. And maybe you're the parent who's coming who is not going to dress their children up. They're going to come in their everyday street clothes. Should this be a point of division in this church? Should this be a point of contention? Should this be the way in which we judge first and second class Christians? Oh, you're part of the parents who dressed up the kids, and you're part of the parents that didn't. Let's not divide over this foolishness. If we allow division in this church, or any church, as a result of children dressing up like Spider-Man and ballerina, whether they get candy or don't get candy, then Satan's ultimately won. He's ultimately won the day. And your position, whether you rejoice, reject, or respond, is lost. We ought to put the Lord first. And our brothers and sisters second. And our convictions about doubtful things, third. Our convictions, there are convictions. And we need to live according to our convictions. And like I said each time, if your conviction is not to dress your children up and not to go door to door, then don't do it. Live with your own convictions. And if your conviction is that it's okay, then go for it. Live with your convictions. But not to the point of division, dividing the body of Christ over doubtful things. You see, if we will react by respecting one another, grace wins the day. God is glorified, and we enjoy the fellowship of the brethren. And isn't that a whole lot better than dividing over a silly Halloween holiday? Let's pray.